Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, C-Man.
What up, yo? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Ball.
Vice One.
This your man, Mastermind of Hell, Razor.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
It's the Murder Master Music Show. Hip-hop is dead, but we don't resurrect it. You follow what lamestream says, but here it gets rejected. If you wearing tight jeans, don't expect to get respected. I'm from a time where wearing black was always on your checklist. From a time where faggots get checked if they reckless. From a time where if you got too much shine, we snatch your necklace. This real shit here, Illuminati, fuck the industry. We represent the street and they respect our street ministries. Take no shorts and cut the middleman, literally. This hip-hop savior, our birth scenes like nativity. This a place where no one sells out for relevability. And the masses can get a chance to explore more creativity. You gotta be kidding me. If you call that hip-hop, niggas with hot shades and fluorescent flip-flop. We killin' Big Brother, cause we know he watched. You don't like what I'm doing, then you can suck mine. Oh, and you don't
stop. It's the Murder Master Music Show. 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 It's the Murder Master Music Show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Episode 301. Last night we had our 300 episode. Man, it was phenomenal, just to say the least, who showed up. We had Arabian Prince. We had Clientele, Project Born. We had RBX. We had MC Shan. We had Raheem of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. We had KD of the Lynch Mob. Gangster Pat, straight out of Memphis, and we had Dice from Detroit. It was a hell of a show. I'm very proud and honored we made it this far, and I want to thank everybody that participated. Tonight, we're actually going to have one of the most legendary female groups of all time, JJ Fad. They was on Ruthless Records, and it's kind of funny because if you look at all the stuff on Ruthless at the time, and then you look at JJ Fad, you know, Supersonic and what they were doing, it was totally different from Boys in the Hood and things of that nature. But we're going to bring them on and find out how it was to be on Ruthless and also see what they're doing today. JJ Fad, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
And welcome to the show, guys. It's a huge honor to have you on the show. I hear tonight you got a concert. Why don't you tell everybody about this concert real quick? Maybe some of our listeners in the area might be able to check you out.
Yeah, well, we're out in Bakersfield tonight. The show starts at 7. It's a lot of hot artists on the bus.
Oh, yeah, Bakersfield.
We
That's
got
what's
Julio's
up.
In a building.
Yeah, hello? I think we lost some folks. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, you said, I heard Coolio. Who else is on there?
Salt and Pepper, One Way, who else? Oh, you know what? The guy from Freedom, Nucleus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
it's a
it sounds like a hell of a lineup right there. After all these years, you guys have been doing this since the 80s. After all these years, how do you explain the longevity? Because you guys are still rocking like it's 1988 again.
I just think because there are so many people that are like-minded like us, they like this music,
and they want to be able to party and have a good time. And when people get together, you know, people that grew up in the 80s and was watching the Supersonic, we all get together, and it's just a big party like back in the day.
Right.
And by the way, this is Sassy C. How you doing?
And see, that's a beautiful thing because, you know, after all these years, a lot of groups, you know, they go their separate ways or whatnot. And here you guys are. You're still doing it. My hat's off to you guys. I want to go back a little bit, though. How did you meet Eazy-E and end up on, like, the most hardcore gangster rap label of all time?
We actually met him through L.A. Dream Team, through Rudy Pardee. Because when we first signed the deal, we signed with Dream Team Records. And he introduced us to Eric, and then we ended up signing to Eric, to Eazy-E's label. And everything took off from there.
And weren't you guys, I mean, didn't you guys go gold and platinum and whatnot before NWA even put out a record?
Yes, we did. We actually helped open the doors for Ruthless, because nobody knew of Ruthless until J.J. Fad did Supersonic and got the song on the charts. And then they opened the door for NWA and Eazy-E.
Wow. So, you guys really kicked it off. I mean, that's amazing. And when you guys would go to different, you know, after NWA blew up and whatnot, and you guys would go do shows, and for the people that were familiar with NWA but weren't really familiar with you, what was their reaction when you would get on stage and do Supersonic? Would they get into it as much as they get into Boys in the Hood or Fuck the Police or something like that?
Definitely they did. Definitely, because like I said, we were known before they were known. So we did do shows. We did tours with them, actually. So it was perfect. We had all different crowds. So
even gangsters boogie.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we had Jerry Heller on the show several times. You know, and rest in peace to Jerry Heller. What was your relationship like with him? Everyone we've talked to loves the guy. How did you guys get along with Jerry?
We were really cool with Jerry. You know, it was actually Jerry and Eazy's idea to put us out first. You know, so that was their thoughts and their plans. And we spoke with Jerry, you know, not long ago, a few months ago, and he was cool. He, you know, he always called us his girls.
Right.
And, you know, loved us and would have liked things to be, you know, different how things went down. But he was always in our corner.
Right. We didn't have a problem with him. Even though people portrayed him as being the bad guy, Jerry really wasn't a bad guy. And that's the truth.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. Because I've heard from a lot of people that say he helped so many along, you know, to get from point A to point B. You know what I'm saying? He was that guy that was kind of like that missing piece.
I got it.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't know that because they only hear one side of the story. What about Straight Outta Compton? I asked Arabian Prince and the other people, where were you guys? I don't understand.
We were non-existent in the movie. Not in reality, but in the movie, we weren't portrayed. I think we were feeling some kind of way initially, but you know what? Life goes on. It is what it is.
But they taking care of everybody in the book, though, right? I haven't read the book. You read the book.
I haven't read it. I just got it. Yeah.
Who's that, Prince?
So
hello, I'm sorry. You there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay. It's just kind of hurtful because we know that, you know, without our album coming out, it would have been really hard for them to put out an NWA album. So they should at least acknowledge the fact that, you know, we kind of kickstart the whole Ruthless label.
Yeah, you guys definitely kicked it off. You know, what about as far as, okay, you know, a lot of people are doing, you know, documentaries and writing books and things of that nature. Is there going to be like a J.J. Fad, maybe a J.J. Fad biopic or documentary or book in the future?
Well, we're looking into options and seeing who we want to actually, you know, author the book. So we're not really sure, and we don't have anything going right now, but we're working on it.
Yeah. One thing I remembered about you guys, I mean, you got to forgive me because I was bumping Dope Man and Boys in the Hood. But one thing I always remembered about you guys is you guys were the first Grammy-nominated female rap group of all time, before anybody. You know, how did that make you guys feel back then?
Because back then,
rap wasn't even recognized.
Right, right. It was definitely an honor to be nominated, and it was definitely trendsetting, and, you know, we broke the barriers for other female MCs to come through and kick the doors down. So it's just really nice to be one of the first to ever do it.
Yeah. You know, I definitely, got to take my hands off to you guys because, you know, and plus, you know, too, the female MC at that time wasn't really even recognized as much. You know, I mean, there was a few of them out there, obviously, but you guys, I mean, when you guys came out, you really came out pretty hard and made a lot of noise to the point to where you almost got a Grammy. You know, what happened after that? You know, after you guys got nominated for the Grammy for the album and everything, what did you guys do? Did you start touring right away, or did you get right back into the studio?
We were touring before the Grammy, so we had done a tour before then, and we were touring after that. So, yeah, we just kept on touring off of the Supersonic album. So that's what we did. And then we went back into the studio after that and worked on the second album.
Yeah, definitely. You know, what point in time did you say, you know what, I'm no longer going to be a part of Ruthless? And why did you guys leave Ruthless?
We never really left Ruthless. We just all decided that, you know, we wanted to start our families and raise our children. So we just kind of, you know, did our own thing. We were still always a part of Ruthless. We never left and went to, like, another label or anything like that. We just stopped recording so we could raise our families.
I respect that. Hell yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what you, I mean, that's what, you know, being a parent and an adult is all about. You guys did a very honorable thing right there. A lot of people wouldn't have even done that. You know what I mean? A lot of, some of these female rappers nowadays, they'd have their kids on the road. You know, they have their kids in the tour bus. But y'all took time out and said, you know what, I'm going to raise family, and that's real dope and real honorable. When did you get back into it and say, you know what, we need to put out more music, we need to hit the road again, let's do this?
Yeah, we decided when our kids got older, and they were all settled in their, you know, their school and raising them, and then we decided, hey, let's come back together and have some fun and hit the road where it didn't disrupt their lives.
And there weren't any babies anymore.
Yeah. So you guys really waited until it was, you know, until you actually had the time to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, and now you guys are on the road. You're doing shows again, and you know, you're doing shows with a lot of great people, like you said, Coolio and whatnot. And you know, what's it like when you hook up with some of the old Ruthless band? You guys just like reminisce about old times, or? Like, you ever run into,
absolutely,
like, Gray or Cube or Yellow?
Some are better than others. Absolutely. This is Baby D talking. But, yeah, we think about stuff that, I mean, the weirdest stuff. But, you know, everybody has a past. Back down memory lane we go. And that's how we usually do it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we got the homie from France, my homie Finn. He couldn't call in, but he wanted me to ask this question for you guys. It's about a track, it's Be Good to Me with DJ Yellow and Arabian Prince. He wants to know how that track, you know, came to life and everything, and what can you tell us
about
that?
What is it? Be Good to Me.
Oh.
That song was part of the second album, and we tried to cross over a little bit R&B/hip-hop, so that's how that came about. And since Arabian Prince and DJ Yellow were producing that album, we figured, hey, we just have them jump in and join the fun.
Yeah. And you're still working with the Arabian Prince to this day, are you not?
Yes, he's our DJ.
Wow, that's crazy.
He's another
one that was left straight out of Compton, unfortunately, because he was part of the group. And he was on the show last night, and I told him, I was like, congratulations, because you belong in the Hall of Fame, too. Because if you think about it, Cube was on a one album. Right? Well, so is Arabian Prince. So he should definitely be there, too. So shout out to Arabian Prince.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, I mean, anybody that was there at the beginning should really be included. You know, you can't forget about those people.
That's right.
But, I'm going to bring in, actually, Sin is actually on the line right now, all the way from France. You got a fan here from France who wants to talk to you guys.
Okay.
Sin, how you doing, man?
Yeah, hi. Hi, Scott. Hi, MJ. Hi, Google.
Hi.
Yeah, I would ask how you met Arabian Prince and how it was to work with him and a production and all that.
How you met Arabian Prince and how is it to work with him?
Yeah, how it was to work with Arabian Prince.
Yeah, he wants to know how you guys met him and how is it to work with him.
Oh, it's awesome. I've known him since we first started. He was one of the first people that we ever met in the music industry, so we've known him for a long time. And we love working with him.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what's up. Well, he's DJing tonight, Sin. He's on the ones and twos tonight. So that's what's up. So you guys are ready to rock a major show. Let me bring out my co-host. He just called in. Hey, what's up, Mac?
What's up with the press? What's up?
Well, we got legendary JJ Fad on the line with us.
Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Hello,
you
hear me,
press? Yeah, I hear you.
Can you hear me, press?
Yeah, I hear you.
It might be a little choppy out here, man. We experiencing crazy rain and lightning and thunder out here in St. Louis.
Torrential downpour, yeah. I feel you. Well, JJ Fad, their call just dropped. Hopefully they'll call back in real soon. But, we were just chopping up with them. You know, they really kicked off Ruthless. And I didn't even know this, but, it was Jerry and Easy's idea to put them out first. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They put them out, they went gold or platinum. And they Grammy nominated, you know what I'm saying? But they got a show tonight with Arabian Prince, you know what I'm saying? He
should
be on
the Arabian
tables. Yeah, hell yeah. Shout out to him, too. They're doing their thing. So hopefully they're going to call in real soon. Also, later on, we got the homie DJ Ready Red's cousin, King G Money. He's going to be coming out here. We got a track that we're going to play by him. He should be calling in after a bit. Hopefully, JJ Fad hits the line again. And it's been a minute since we had some female artists on the show.
Right.
To be honest with you, I think
especially some of the originators.
Marvelous?
Yep, I think it was Marvelous. But you know what's crazy about JJ Fad, Prez? I'm always remember them because that was one of the main songs when they was out at the skating ring. You know what I'm saying? We used to go skating a whole lot in Kankakee back then, and when that motherfucking song would come on, all the girls would hit the motherfucking, it was like they anthem and shit, like some girls, you know, same way with Salt and Pepper too, you know what I'm saying? They songs come on and motherfuckers just go crazy, you know what I'm saying? And I always wondered what happened to JJ Fad after, you know, I'm guessing, you know, the NWA got so big that they maybe just didn't continue working on their stuff, but I thought they was going to come out with more stuff.
Actually, what happened, we got the chance to, it's good, great minds think alike, it's good you brought that up. I asked them that, and they said that, I wondered, why did you quit? You guys, you got this string of success, the first female group to be nominated for a Grammy, but
mm-hmm.
they wanted to raise their families, man. So at the end of the day, that outweighs any type of Grammy award, any type of plaque, anything.
Oh, yeah.
So at the end of the day, that's what they decided they wanted to do. And hopefully we hear back from them. You know what I'm saying?
I'm about to say salute to them for doing that. You know what I'm saying? Because in this day and age, I can see people neglecting their parental duties to chase their dream. And these ladies went ahead and stopped their dream a little bit for the betterment of their kids, man. So when Pac makes songs like Dear Mama, he's making them for women like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, looking out for their people, man. I respect that shit.
Yeah, that's what it's all about right there. You got to look out for the kids. Well, if anything, J.J. Fan was on the line, so we can't say we added them in the archive. Hopefully they do call back. You know what I'm saying? 714-409-0548. But, you know what I'm saying, if not, you know what I'm saying, the homie King G Money, he's going to be calling in real soon. That is actually, you know what I'm saying, DJ Ready Red's cousin. Man, and he's got a lot of talent in the family because, you know, who does the intro to this show? Caliber 007.
Caliber.
You know what I'm saying? Who does the intro to Underground Saturday Night? Caliber 007. You know, so this dude, he's got some bars, too. Sin, I think, is still with us. You with us, Sin?
Yeah. What's
up, Sin?
Yeah, Sin is with us right now. I guess JJ Fed is probably experiencing some technical difficulties. But that's okay. We will bring them on anytime, you know what I'm saying, because we got nothing but respect for them. They're real humble, you know what I'm saying. Hopefully they call back in, though, so we can have a little more Q&A with them. But if not, it's all good. How you feeling, Mac? I know you've been under the weather.
I'm better now that I'm off work. I don't even know why the hell I went to work today. I should have stayed home, man. I was in that motherfucker struggling this morning, man. I was hurting, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when you get congestion in the head and then you wake up, the shit all in your chest and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even smell the weed I got or none of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, man, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
I was at work, and I think I had
weed.
Somebody was like, man, somebody smelled like I had just got something. I had it in my pocket, and they was like, man, and I'm like, that ain't me. But then again, I wouldn't have known because I ain't been able to smell shit since Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's a combination. It's a combination of my allergies, and I think I caught a little head cold with the weather changing. Because I, you know, Prez, you've been knowing me for a few years, and I very rarely get sick. I want to knock on some wood with that. You know what I'm saying? But when I do get sick, man, it'd be horrible because I'm not used to it. So I'm all in baby mode damn near, you know?
Yeah, man, you got to have the water bottle and the thermometer in your mouth, like those old cartoons. You just sit
like
there.
Like, man, I had, you know, for episode 300, I had took this medicine and fell asleep, and I woke up a little late. But then right when I was going to call in, I tried to ask the kids to bring me some water, and I couldn't even talk for real. I'm like, I can't get on the radio like this. And then right when I was thinking about getting some tea, that's when he was like, man, go sip some tea or something. And I'm like, hell yeah, that's what I need. But I'm all right.
Well,
you know, I ain't
going
to complain, man. There's people out here with worse ailments than me, man. I can get over a little head cold or a little allergy attack. It's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Like you could call and say, well, yesterday you was DOC. With the broken voice.
Fred told me to use my DLC voice. That's what I would have had to do when I first called in. You wouldn't have been able to hear shit. Because I was just like,
Now, with all these shame trails and all that, this our project, it's not good for the allergies and all that.
And these motherfuckers spraying chemtrails out here in Missouri all the goddamn time.
You see them everywhere.
Yeah, I seen chemtrail planes today when it was raining, Prez. Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all can't take a day off of that shit?
No, you can't at all. You know what I'm saying? I remember I told Sin, I was like, oh, Mac is sick. And Sin is like, tell him to call in with the DOC voice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was hilarious. No, but his voice has actually gotten better, man.
Yeah,
it's still, you know, it's still raspy and whatnot. But man, we've really been missing that dude in the game for years. I mean, if you think about it, that one fucking album was such a masterpiece. You know, you almost needed a follow up immediately. You know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, he got in the car accident. I think when they filming the Formula video, right after that, on his way home, he got in that car accident. But, man. You know, I liked Helter Skelter. You know,
Helter Skelter,
I liked
It's really dope. Album,
yeah, Helter Skelter was dope because of Erotic D.
Yeah. Credit
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was good, but you know,
it's a very underrated album. Very underrated.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think he can do it. You know, now's the time. You know, but unfortunately, you got a lot of these motherfuckers that they don't pay respect or homage. You know what I'm saying? I saw a video earlier on YouTube today of what's this dude? What's his name? Little Yachty? Is that how you say it? Little Yachty?
Hey, man, I don't know. I should call them little fuckboys. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, little fuckboys.
And they were talking about
roasting,
Drake better than
Tupac.
Pop and Biggie and shit.
He's
yeah, like, man, have
Tupac.
Some respect. Have some respect for the dead, for one. And for two, not to take nothing away from Drake, but them two totally different type of rappers. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? It's like Drake is like a pop rapper with no street appeal. And Pop was a street rapper that had crossover appeal. You know what I'm saying? Because he was from the streets. You can't compare
yeah.
that. It's just like when people try to compare Pac to Biggie. I understand why they do it because they had that conflict or whatever. But to me, there's no comparison between Pac and Biggie because
yeah.
Biggie wasn't out and around long enough to even stand up to the body of work that Pac did.
Yeah, Biggie had one album out before it died, yeah. and the other one came out just right after.
Yeah,
so Pac had a whole catalog. But hey, we
mm-hmm.
got a. I believe this is our guest, the homie King G. Is this King G Money?
Yo, what's up? Yeah, it's me.
Hey, welcome to the Murder Master Music Show, fam. First and mm-hmm. foremost, tell everybody where you're from, homie.
I'm from Trenton, New Jersey. Born and raised.
Trenton, New Jersey. None of the legends. Though, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of legends over there. We fuck with First Fam Radio, Caliber 007, and of course DJ Ready Red. What's it like coming from Trenton with all that musical history right there?
You know, it's a lot of upcoming artists out there now. You know, I try to collab with like people, but I love my city first and foremost. But you know, the thing in my city is that really nobody wants to come together. So I'm trying to be the one to break the negative cycle.
Bring unity.
You know? So that's basically my thing. My cousin, Ready Red, that's my
mm-hmm.
cousin. And, you know, I talk to him a lot. We share some things. He tried to school me to go through the right path, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Oh yeah. That's just shout out to DJ Ready Red, and longtime guest on the show. He's actually co-hosted some episodes with us. Growing up, you know, how did you develop your style? And for the people listening, can you describe your style?
Well, it all started being like 12. You know, I always loved music, but I had gained the interest with you know, trying to actually create my own music. And ever since 12 to the current age of 27, I've just been going hard. You know, I've really never listened to like new rappers, but you know, I like Wayne, I like Kish, Styles P, X.
Hell yeah.
Jay-Z. You know, those are people that I've grew up listening to. Nas too. So and,
yeah, Nas.
Basically,
when you speak of DMX and you speak of Nas, automatically I think of lyrics. Cause them dudes
yeah.
just spit. What about
yeah.
you, man? A lot of cats nowadays, they'll just rap. I'm gonna be honest, they're rapping mumbo fucking jumbo that I can't understand. How important
yeah.
is it for you to have lyrical content?
You know, I grew up with that. So the mumble rap that these rappers are doing now, first off, I don't see how people understand half of the stuff
right.
that they're saying. It seems like they're not even really putting in no type of thought. Like, it doesn't seem written. It seems like they just get high, and then they just go go in the studio and they just make up something. You know what I mean? But
right.
having something that's lyrical and something that people can relate to means the most to me. So I'm not going to change because the mumble rap shit is out. I'm going to stick to what I know.
Man, I salute you for that. And because you know what's crazy is, what's the dude name from New Jersey to Fetty Wap or whatever his name. Yeah, whatever his name is. Now, he's from New Jersey as well. I don't know. I don't think he's from Trenton. But,
nah.
Like, when he first come out, you know, for one, I think that shit is hot trash. But for two, it don't sound like the guys from New Jersey that I grew up on, like Naughty by Nature and fucking, you know, like even Queen Latifah, you know what I'm saying? Like, when we come up in Redman and shit like that, like, it's, you know, New Jersey, you know, it's all East Coast, but they had a flavor of their own, you know what I'm saying? It was like, yeah, they from the East Coast, but it wasn't like they trying to sound like New York. But now you got a lot of the East Coast cats that try to emulate what's going on in the South, which, to me, it's watering down the game because it ain't no distinctive sounds in hip-hop.
Yeah,
like
true.
You said, it's like motherfuckers just sipping syrup and getting high, and then they go in there and they got – it's like as soon as the beats got better, the lyrics got worse. You know, when the beats wasn't as good as they is today, the lyrics was up to par because it was like, okay, the beat ain't that good, so I got to make them feel what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and it's like
as
soon as the technology got better and the producers got better at what they was doing, then they took a back seat to the beats. Because if you ask me, the only thing that's carrying half of these new motherfuckers is the dope-ass beats they got.
Yeah, true. True.
So how is that being, like you being a guy from New Jersey and seeing somebody else from Jersey, so to speak, blow up a little bit? Is there any pressure, like, do some of your fans or the people that fuck with you try to pressure you into making, you know, some of the swag formula rap? Or
yeah, I've had a couple people told me that you should switch off. Basically, just because what's out now, the mumble rap, the beat is hotter than the lyrics. Like, they feel as though this is what these people are looking for, and they want me to blend in, and I just can't do it. Sometimes I use the auto tune. I've actually made a couple songs with it because I thought that it sounded nice. That was me stepping out of something that I don't normally do, and
right,
a couple of the songs came out right, but I'm gonna stay true to myself, and me being true to myself is being me, and that's
right.
What I'm gonna do, whether I get signed or not. I'm gonna be me.
Right, you know what I'm saying? And nowadays, man, shit, sign yourself, man. It's gonna be better that way anyway. You know what I'm saying? Keep grinding and staying independent and doing. I'm not saying don't turn down no money now. You know what I'm saying? If it's good for you and your family, but in the long run, in the scheme of things, man, you'll be better off sticking to doing it independent, because then you won't have to try to change your style or your sound. You know what I'm saying? You won't have to try to sound like a Fetty Doo. Like, if somebody comes to you and say, man, you got to do a Fetty Doo Wop song, man. Or, man, like I say with the auto-tune, like, the auto-tune is cool if you're using it as a tool. But if you're using the auto-tune to try to make the song, then that shit is whack. You know what I'm saying? You got to use it for what it's for.
They just beat you in the head. Now, I've heard songs to where I didn't like at first, and they beat you in the head with that shit until you like the shit, and it's like, damn. Like, what the fuck?
How did that happen?
Why?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And these people are making... Yeah. These people is making millions of dollars on trash. Wasted beats, man.
Yep.
But
like that dude, designer, that one song he got, the Panda, that beat hard as a motherfucker. But then this motherfucker's mumbling and trying to sound like somebody else.
Yeah.
And he blows up. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, what the fuck?
I like that song, though. I'm not. It's more of the beat that I like. But it's just catchy. You know what I mean? I don't knock nobody hustle, but I just don't. just like you said, the East Coast had its own sound, the South did, the West did. I think it should stay like that. And trust me, like everything that be in style, it always washes away. And then maybe years later, it'll come back. But this that mumble rap shit, that shit is going to go away. And when it
right.
do go away, I'm
that's what these motherfuckers sound like. They sound like they sound like them little things that used to be on fucking Sesame Street. That just yep. That's what they sound like, man. And then they looking like that too. They wearing skirts and shit, and they got these bags around their neck and shit. And it's just like, man. You know, New Jersey niggas supposed to have them fucking wheat Tims on and shit, and fucking Carhartt jackets and hats and shit. You know, like, what the fuck is you niggas wearing? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I remember the movie New Jersey Drive. Remember the movie?
Yeah, New Jersey Drive. That was the shit.
Yeah, man, but.
Now, how long, King G Money, how long have you been rapping for?
I've been rapping ever since I was 12. And it's crazy because my cousin that died, his name James, like, he used to always play X all the time, man. And I used
rest
to, like,
peace
dub.
Your fam, man.
For real, man. I used to dub the tapes, and my dad never liked me listening to, like, rap, like, curse words, but I used to dub it, and then when he leave or go to work, I blast that shit. And I just thought, I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm gonna try something, and I'm gonna tell you how I started. It was a song on the radio. It was called No Scrubs, TLC.
Yeah,
and that for some reason, as a kid, that beat was fire to me. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try to write something. And at that time, I didn't know how to get the beat, so I would just write over what they were saying. So I made this childish song, and that's how I started. And I've been going hard nonstop ever since then. Me and my homie P Dot, like, we've been doing this.
Hey, and it's crazy that you say that, because that's probably why you stick true to what you're doing now, is because that's the essence of growing up in hip hop, being a fan of hip hop, and then trying to become a hip hop artist yourself. Because when we was younger, we about 10 years older than you. And when we was in our days, coming up in the mid to late 80s and early 90s, we did the same thing. We couldn't go get instrumentals like how you can now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what we do. We always freestyled over the fucking words. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody even said
word.
Like, let us listen to the song, and then or we find a song that either started with a whole and just try to loop that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And A-Ball and MJG was good for that. In the early days, they had a lot of songs with no hooks. You know what I'm saying? So you could just, okay, when the hook come on, that's when I'm going to get my bars in right quick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the essence of this shit, man.
During my time, I had two boom boxes and then two cassette tapes. Sometimes, you know, when they got the songs, they got, like, that little quick 20 seconds with just the beat playing. I'll just keep looping it and looping it, and then I'll have one playing on one radio, and then the other radio would just be my voice just recording it. And I would do that. I still have my tapes. When I was a kid rapping, I still got my cassette tapes.
Man.
Baby voice and anything. Still got it.
Right. I was going to ask you this, too. Like, what's it like being the cousin of an iconic hip-hop legend that did so much for the game? Really don't get his credit, but, like, when your big cousin came to you and let you know, like, damn, cuz, this shit is hot, man. Like, you can really do this. Like, what's it like having that kind of influence in your life as well?
It actually feels good. I believe that everybody should have somebody that believes in them. And one thing about me is that I don't want to be, like, bamboozled, meaning if my shit whack, tell me my shit is whack. Then I'm the type of person that's going to prove you wrong, and I'm going to make that shit 10 times better. I'm going to make it to where you're going to like it. And he's been messing with me ever since. My music was kind of whack. I didn't really like experience too much. And he just told me, like, he just kept on working with me and kept on giving me that drive. But it's cool. It's cool. It's cool being his cousin. I don't see him as this star. I see him as my cousin, and
right.
I'm doing this for myself. My daughter, in him as well. So I want him to come with me because I just don't think the way he was treated in the game, I don't think that was fair. He deserved way more than what he got now.
Hell yeah. That's why we stay repping for Red, man, because we, you know, especially Prez, because Prez love this shit too, you know what I'm saying? And to see what he did and how they try to, like, X him out of this shit later on, it was almost on, like, some petty kid shit, like, well, if Red ain't fucking with us no more, don't fuck with us when we really start blowing up. But if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have been able to really, really blow up the way you did. I'm not saying that they wouldn't have popped off, but Red was the drive behind and making them dudes create. Like, we had Bushwick on one time, and Red just basically, they was just conversating, and just through that conversation, Bushwick kept saying, it was like, man, Red would come up with stuff that we wouldn't even be thinking about. And then it made us, you know, elevate our shit and open our minds up, because Red could do, you know, he real with the wheels of steel. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when you was coming up, did you know his impact in the game as a youngster, or was it just, like you just said, like, that's just my cousin, and then, like, you found out that, hey, he used to produce the Ghetto Boys. He was actually in the original Ghetto Boys. Was it something like that, or was it just kind of like you always knew that's just my cousin that used to rap?
Nah, I knew that he was my cousin, but as far as him being legendary like he is, I didn't know. You know what I mean? One of my biggest mistakes as being young was actually trying to do research of the founders of this shit, and I didn't do that. But then once he told me, I'm like, all right. I honestly thought he was bullshit. Then I started searching. I'm like, yo, he really was legit.
Right.
But, you know, I respect him. You feel what I'm saying? And in due time, whether he's still winning, because for one, I'm not gonna stop until I get it. And once I get it, he's gonna be there too. So it's all good.
Right on for you, man. Man,
it's good. It's good that he has you in his corner. It's good that you got him in your corner. That's real shit.
Yeah.
But hey, we're gonna take a break, and then we're gonna come back, kick it with you for a few more minutes, close out this interview. But I got this track here, "Till I Die." I was really feeling that shit, man. Why don't you intro this for us?
Yeah, man. It's your boy, the King G Money, all the way from Trenton, New Jersey. Was about to play "Till I Die," D Squad.
There it is, right here in the Murder Master Music Show. King G Money, Till I Die. UGSforLife.com. We'll be right back.
UGS for Life, biatch.
Zombie Squad.
Yes, King.
Yes, King.
This King Crack nigga.
I come from the gutter, motherfucker, yeah, I do this for my mother, for my daughter, for my dad, for my sister, even brothers. Can't trust motherfuckers cause they working undercover. Snitch on me, you be laying undercovers. I've been underestimated since a young age, nigga. I'm grinding on my own, I'm a self-made nigga. You a bitch, you ain't never been a brave ass nigga. Fuck a deal, I will never be a slave ass nigga. Ever since I lost James, I've been losing my mind. Like, fuck these niggas, I ain't really got time. Niggas hate to see you win, they don't wanna see you shine. I was born for this shit, I'm just one of a kind. Being raised in the hood is like living in the jungle. I'm a lion, I'm the king. Gun tame, no muzzle, you don't know shit unless you done survived in the struggle. When it comes to getting money, bitch, I know about the hustle, man. I'm getting sick and tired of these washed up rappers. Fake hood, straight bitch, now I'm trapping ass rappers. No money, can't even make a hit ass rappers. When it's beef, then they run into the cops ass rappers. It's embarrassing when there's no comparison. Me thinking that I'm hot doesn't mean that I'm arrogant. They copy my flow, yeah, I call a good parrot. And my dad was a king, so I guess I was a heritage. Nigga, I'm a beast when it comes to this shit. And if you hate, you know me, you can suck my dick. Stop this squad till I die, that's my motherfucking clique. And it's bros of a hoe. Nigga, fuck that bitch. Niggas damn near 40, still spittin', still tryna get a deal. Spittin' like it's 98, homie, let's keep it real. Bitch, the generation minds, and I'm going for the kill. When I make it to the top, I'ma tell you how I feel. When I look in the mirror, all I see is a monster. Bitch, I'm a monster. Pour my Soprano, no shit, my nigga, I'm a monster. Bitch, I'm a monster. Niggas ain't real, this world just filled with imposters. Bitch, they imposters. Zombie Squad, BCS, Yogi Boy, shit, I be the roster. Bitch, that's the roster. Dreads on my head, blowing weed like a roster. Fuck with the squad, then my niggas gon' pop ya. Google my name, there's nobody hotter. And if you fake, I don't want no bother. Tax on my body like the subway in Harlem. I can't stop spitting, cause bitch, that's my calling. You starving, no job like Tommy Omar. And it's King Crack till the day I'm in a fucking coffin.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Jesus, man, look at them bars.
Right, killing that shit.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's why I appreciate you, King G Money, is because you got talent, you got bars, you got lyrics, you got
thank
substance.
You
know what I'm
thank
saying?
You. I appreciate it.
No problem. Well, this brings the next question. What do we have to look forward to from you as far as, you know what I'm saying, an album or release? You got anything in the works?
Yeah, I actually took a break for a minute. My mom died on my birthday, January 29th, 2016. And, you know, like,
and rest
who's
in peace.
The mom? Thank
right,
you,
rest
man.
In peace to your mom, man.
I appreciate it, man. And it took a lot out of me, but my drive is back. It never left. I just took a break. I had to find myself mentally. But I have a lot of stuff on the works, man. I have two other people that's actually in my group with me, and it's my homie, my brother, my right hand man, P Dot, and my little cousin Quan. And we got a lot of stuff in the works, man.
Yeah,
so,
hell yeah.
Mixtape coming soon.
I'll tell you what, when you drop the mixtape, get it to me. I want to do a review for it over at UGSForLife.com. And,
okay.
You know, hopefully we can bring you back on again, you know what I'm saying, play some more of them tracks in the future. You know what I'm saying? I really respect you. But if Catch, hey, just listen to that, you know what I'm saying, you need to get 16 of them bars on your fucking album. What's the best way people can get a hold of you if they want to get some of the bars?
Okay, you can catch me on Instagram at the King G Money. It's THEKINGGMONEY. On Twitter at the King G Money. You can catch me on YouTube. It's at Zombie Squad 609. Reverb Nation, the King G Money, SoundCloud, the King G Money, everything. That's about it.
It's just basically Google the King G Money, and bam, you're gonna be
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what, man. First and foremost, I want to salute you. I thank you for coming on the show and joining our archive. You know what I'm saying? It's our 301st show. And, man, we like I said, we hope to have you on again in the future. And we look forward to that music. Keep it coming, man. But before I let you go, I need to know this. Red has told us, man, we have to be vigilant on him because he's supposed to drop some in 2017. Is Red going to be producing these tracks for you?
I'm not sure. I can't give you a definite answer, but we definitely got something in store for y'all.
That's what's up. Well, shout out to, you know what I'm saying, Ready Red. And once again, rest in peace to your mom, man. Terribly sorry for your loss.
Thanks, man. Yeah, man.
And, I appreciate that.
No doubt, brother. And just keep doing your thing, man. You got the talent. You know what I'm saying? You got them bars, and that's what it's about. You know what I'm saying? Don't fall for these industry gimmicks and these tricks. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. I appreciate you.
All right. And we're going to fuck
I
with
got
you, too, man. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Send
you
guys this way, too, man. When you do P. Dot or whatever, when he get ready to do his thing, man. Send his music over this way, too. Let's check him out, man. He didn't have the same type of interview you just had. Let people know what y'all doing, you know?
I got you, man. Yeah. It's coming soon, bro. It's coming soon.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
I really appreciate y'all for having me, too, man.
Right on, man.
Hey, it's our honor, man. And I'll tell you what, we're going to get out of here. But we're going to give him that track once again, Till I Die. That's how we're getting out of here. King G Money,
Word.
Till I Die. UGSForLife.com. And make sure to check Mac and Velvet Rose tomorrow night. You know what I'm saying? They got Underground Saturday night. And, you know, feel free, King G, call into their show too as well. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
You ain't
they play
shit.
Music. You know, they got a variety
got
show. And then,
we talk
of
shit,
course,
you know what I'm saying? Fuck off. Saturday night, half the time motherfuckers ain't doing shit at the time that we doing the show. So, like, if you getting ready to go do something, shit, you fuck with us. When you waiting on that little hour for your guy to show up or your gal to get ready, you know what I'm saying?
Word.
You call us in and tell us about it. You know, that's the type of shit we be on. We welcome any callers to call in Underground Saturday night. Check us out. Velvet always come with that bomb-ass news, and then we shoot the shit. You know what I'm saying? pretty much play your shit off your head. If you want to call and say fuck the world, hey, this the show to do it. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Right on.
Well, here it is. One more time, man. Till I Die, King G Money. Thanks again for coming on the show. Everybody else, man, check out the website, UJSForLife.com. See you guys tomorrow night, Underground Saturday Night, with Mac J and Velvet Rose, 9 p.m. Central. We're out of here.
Yes, sir.
Zombie Squad.
Yes, King.
I come from the gutter, motherfucker, yeah, I do this for my mother, for my daughter, for my dad, for my sister, even brothers. Can't trust motherfuckers cause they working undercover. Snitch on me, you be laying undercovers. I've been underestimated since a young age, nigga. I'm grinding on my own, I'm a self-made nigga. You a bitch, you ain't never been a brave ass nigga. Fuck a deal, I will never be a slave ass nigga. Ever since I lost James, I've been losing my mind. Like, fuck these niggas, I ain't really got time. Niggas hate to see you win, they don't wanna see you shine. I was born for this shit, I'm just one of a kind. Being raised in the hood is like living in the jungle. I'm a lion, I'm the king. Gun tame, no muzzle, you don't know shit unless you done survived in the struggle. When it comes to getting money, bitch, I know about the hustle, man. I'm getting sick and tired of these washed up rappers, fake hood, straight bitch. Now I'm trapping ass rappers, no money, can't even make a hit. Ass rappers, when it's beef, then they run into the cops. Ass rappers, it's embarrassing, but there's no comparison. Me thinking that I'm hot doesn't mean that I'm arrogant. They copy my flow, yeah, I call a good parrot. And my dad was a king, so I guess it was a heritage. Nigga, I'm a beast when it comes to this shit. And if you hate, you know me, you can suck on my dick. So I can squad till I die, that's my motherfucking click. And it's bros of a hoe. Nigga, fuck that bitch. Niggas damn near 40, still spittin', still tryna get a deal. Spittin' like it's 98, homie, let's keep it real. This is generation minds and I'm going for the kill. When I make it to the top, I'ma tell you how I feel. When I look in the mirror, all I see is a monster. Bitch, I'm a monster. Who am I soprano shit, my nigga, I'm a monster. Bitch, I'm a monster. Niggas ain't real, this world just filled with imposters. Bitch, they imposters. Zombie Squad, BCS, Yogi Boy, shit, I be the roster. Bitch, that's the roster. Dreads on my head, blowing weed like a roster. Fuck with the squad, and my niggas gon' pop. Yeah, Google my name, there's nobody hotter. And if you fake, I don't want no bother. Attacks on my body like the subway in Harlem. I can't stop spitting, cause bitch, that's my calling. You starving, no job like Tommy Omar. And it's King Crack till the day I'm in a fucking coffin.
Oh, man, we had to hear that one more fucking time.
Man, hell yeah.
We had to hear that one more time. But, man, you know me and Mac, if you guys been listening to the show or if you just look at our pages, man,
right.
It's Cubs all day. But fuck you goddamn Cardinals fans. You motherfuckers. Y'all are 73. You know, we almost 20 victories or something ahead of y'all. Man, I've been a Cubs fan my whole life.
For instance, man, exactly, man. We part of this shit, too. So motherfuckers like me and you can celebrate when the teams that we love do great things, because we got to get shitted on when they don't do great things. And a lot of these motherfuckers is bandwagon motherfuckers, but I'm not even going to let them spoil the moment for me. They can be bandwagons. You know what I'm saying? Like, come along and see what it's like to go from nothing to something real quick. But I want to just congratulate the 2016 Chicago Cubs by winning the fastest time they ever won a division, period, I think. They first division title since 2008. Like you mentioned earlier, Prez, they like 20-plus games over 500. They on their way to 100 wins. They almost about to eclipse the amount of wins that they won last year. And they on fire, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people say, well, you talking all this shit. If they lose, then you're going to be sad. Man, I'll be sad when they lose any fucking way. So, of course, I'm going to talk my shit when they ride high because I talk my shit when they ain't riding high.
Hey,
same way with the Bears and the Bulls
fucker.
Too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, everybody know that we're in Chicago every day. Corey Baker, yeah, he don't really want to talk to me right now.
Corey Baker,
yeah.
Nah, man, shout
Corey
out to
Baker.
Corey, man. He's a cool dude, but he's got to switch over to the other side, man.
Yeah, but one thing I will say about Corey though is, like, I can never call him a bandwagon Cardinals fan because there's plenty of them too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
diehard Cardinals,
you know, the same way we love the Cubs is, man, and I'm in the heart of this shit, Prez. Like, I'm 10 minutes from Busch Stadium, and every time I ride by that motherfucker, I'm like, fuck this shit. And people are like, you've been here for years now, man, you should embrace. Man, I will never embrace that shit. You know what I'm saying? When the Bears used to come down and play the Rams, it's more Bears fans in that motherfucker than Rams fans, hence the reason why the Rams ain't here no motherfucking more. But see, these if the Cardinals don't make the playoffs, you motherfuckers better have your bulletproof vest on, because it's going to be mad people walking around this motherfucker, and they making the I don't know if you've seen that. They got the new carry concealed plan finna go into effect. It's called constitutional carry. So basically now, Fred, as long as you don't have a felony, you can legally carry a concealed weapon without getting a background check and doing the safety course and all of that.
Yeah, here you got to take, you got to take a 3 or 4 day safety course, and cost like $500, something along those lines.
Yep, same way here. But now, I think it starts in November. It just passed here in Missouri. You don't even have to have these classes no more. I think the only thing you have to do is a background check to see, because the only way you can't have one, obviously, is if you have a felony on your record. Because the law is you can be a felon in possession of a firearm is another felony charge. So for all you motherfuckers that's out here in your legal beagle, and it's one of two things, friends. It's kind of cool that they're doing that, but at the same time, it's scary. Because now you're going to have a whole lot of motherfuckers out here walking around with guns that's scary, and that's why they got their guns. And I don't think scary motherfuckers should be walking around with guns. Or you're going to have motherfuckers that think they real hard because they can carry their gun everywhere now.
Yeah, those are the kind
I think it needs to fuck that concealed shit. If you got a pistol, it should be displayed at all times. That's just my thought.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't want to get in the mix and it was some dude, and then all of a sudden he pulls one on you. But I'll tell you what, this is the Murder Master Music Show. You know how it is. We play nothing but rap. But we're going to end the show with Go Cubs Go, you motherfuckers. We're out of here. We'll see you soon. UGSLive.com.